हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। वंश कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि श्री गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्याम वेद भक्तवृंद की गौर प्रेमनंद ग्लोरी श्री सिंधु ग्लोरी श्री सिंधु ऑल ग्लोरी श्री कृष्ण। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Ekadasi morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Lord Vrishabhadeva's teachings. This is text number 7. Yada na pashyati ayata guneham swarthe pramatta sasa vipaschit gata smritir vindati tatra papam asadya maitunyam agaram achnaha yada na pasyat yayata guneham स्वर्ते प्रमत्त सहसा विपश्चित् गत स्मृतिर्विन्दति तत्तापान् आसद्यमायतुन्यम् अगारम् अज्ञः यदा न पश्यति यत्तागुणेऽहम् स्वर्ते प्रमत्तः सहसा विपश्चित् गत स्मृतिर्विन्दति तत्र तापान् यमायतुन्यमगारमज्ञः यदा न पश्यत्य यत्तागुणेऽहम् स्वर्ति प्रमत्तः सहसा विपश्चित् गत स्मृतिर्विन्दति तत्र तापान् असद्यमयतुन्यमगारमग्नः
Yeah.
Satisfy the senses.
Swarte
in self-interest.
Pramattaha,
mad.
Mad,
meaning insane. Sahasa,
very soon.
Vipaschit,
even one advanced in knowledge.
Gatasthihi,
being forgetful.
Vindati,
yes.
Tatra,
there.
Tapan,
material miseries.
Asadhya,
getting.
Maitunyam,
based on sexual intercourse.
Agaram,
a home.
Ajnaha,
being foolish.
Translation: even though one may be very learned and wise, he's mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interest around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the lowest stage of devotional life, one is not an unalloyed devotee. Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrittam. To be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. The influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his household life, which is centered around sexual intercourse. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is thus bound by the chain of material laws. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesa Sunyavari Paschatsade Sutarani Om Gyanam Timurandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chaksuru Militum Jingam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakavupat Pribyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyeva Chakutitanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo 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 V Even though one may be very learned and wise, that is to say, vipassacitta, means a learned person, he's mad, pramatta, if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, this word here, swartha, one's own interest is swartha. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. So here in this purport, Prabhupada is talking about the situation of a devotee who in some ways has some philosophical knowledge about Krishna consciousness. Because in the lowest stage of devotional life, one is not an unalloyed devotee. That is to say, pure. One is not a pure devotee. There are things mixed up. An alloy, you know, is when you take a metal and you mix other metals with it. An unalloyed devotee is one that is just pure, there's nothing mixed in. But otherwise, what gets mixed in is karma, jnana, things like that. Fruit of activities, speculative knowledge. He says here, to be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. Well, that's the standard when you say somebody's pure. That's how we judge these things ourselves. Am I pure? Well, am I being conducted by material desires? Am I interested in pursuing some material end? Am I interested in trying to understand everything? Become omniscient? And so on. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. So this is this person. So he's interested in philosophical speculation. So looks very bright, huh? And there's a tinge of devotion also. Jnana Mishra Bhakti. There's bhakti, but it's mixed with jnana. Or maybe it's bhakti Mishra jnana. I forgot to turn my phone off. It'll stop in a minute. At that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. So if there's this distraction from Krishna consciousness, that one is interested in gaining knowledge, then also it's usually, this goes along with the ideas of sense gratification. And the modes of nature are still acting on a person. He's not free from them. We see many, in this world, we see so many very learned people in various fields of knowledge, especially technical knowledge, where you have to be really smart to do all these things and understand all these things make these kinds of investigations and come up with so many theories and new inventions. You know. I was just reading in the newspaper the other day how people are now making a semiconductor out of one molecule, you know, this little nanotube molecule, and pretty soon it'll be a semiconductor all by itself. So these guys are smart. But actually, they're again. That last word there, it means stupid. Because even though they're so smart, they're still pramataha. They're insane. They're still insane. So one may have knowledge, even one may have some spiritual knowledge from the Vedas, but if one is thinking that there will be happiness from sense gratification, then he's insane. So the practically the whole world is moving under this particular illusion that I will become happy by satisfying my senses. And we call it insanity because it is really so evidently false. You see, people are trying by this endeavor, and actually they become miserable. That this effort to be happy by sense gratification has not really procured any happiness for anyone. What happens is that, yeah, you get some temporary buzz. You get a little high. You get a little bliss. And then it goes away. It's very brief. And then the sequel of all of that is misery. And what people do in order to maintain the illusion, they're pramada, they're insane, they blot out the misery and they just focus on these moments of happiness. So if you, for example, the newsstand, you will see so many glossy magazines. And in those glossy magazines, there are people enjoying. They're telling you about vacation places. And you see pictures of beautiful people in beautiful places having good times. That's all that's in the magazine. They're down in some, you know, Caribbean island where the native population is in misery and poverty. All that's blotted out. And what happens to these people? You know, so they focus on the high points. And then you just ignore all the rest. That happens off scene. The original meaning of the English word obscene is off scene. Something you couldn't show on stage. Well, now sex is not obscene anymore. But growing old is obscene. Getting diseased is obscene. Dying is obscene. So we don't see these obscenities. We only see, you know, young people having sex. And you think, yeah, this is what life is about. This is happiness. So this is what's being marketed to people, and this is what people believe. But it's insanity. Because we generally say a person is insane when something is right in front of their face, but because of their deranged mind, they don't see it. But Bhagavatam says, actually, in the second canto, pasyati na pasyati. Although they see, they don't see. I think in the Bible there's some, you have eyes to see, but you see not. Huh? So almost it's a kind of willful or deliberate insanity. I choose to be insane. It's got this strained effort. Because you notice that in the world you will see when people are having fun, they like to advertise that they're having fun. They like other people to notice that they're having fun. In some vacation spot, people show off. If they're really high society, they make sure that the photographers come and put pictures of them having fun in the newspaper. They like everybody to know that they're having fun. They tell themselves, are we having fun? Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this terrific? Right? So it has this forced quality about it. It's not really just spontaneous pleasure. It's a cover-up. It's a cover-up. Where their real anxieties, I'm growing old, I'm going to die, all this is going to go away. Right now we're having fun, but so-and-so has cancer, and this person is about to go bankrupt, and this wife is cheating on him. They kind of see all these things, you know, but they all pretend it's not there. And they insist they're having fun. It's all a show. It's all make-believe to impress themselves and to impress others. And this is the screen they put up to hide one big thing: old age, disease, and death. So this is what's going on. This is why there's practically an insanity industry to keep up the bluff. To keep up the bluff. So we should understand ourselves. We should be very clear. We actually have knowledge, and we want to really increase in knowledge. We have to understand that, you know, you have to be sane. Here these words are used in this verse, pramattaha, insanity. Gatasmitri means robbed of one's memory. We're talking here who I am, who Krishna is. These things we should know. Because many times when we think of Krishna, it's called smriti, remembrance, smaranam. That means that we already know but have forgotten. So we've forgotten Krishna, we've forgotten ourselves, we don't know who we are. But this is insanity, deprived of memory, ajna, no knowledge, foolish. Prabhupada says here, no better than an animal. Animals are called ajna, and no intelligence, no better than an animal. How does this Nobel Prize winner turn out to be no better than an animal? Because they're engaged in this behavior that's self-destructive and leads to only misery. So first of all, we need to understand very quickly. We see that sense gratification leads to misery. But people don't know the remedy. If there's no sense gratification, what is there? They think, okay, I'm here in this world, and there's this big dish of misery, but every so often here and there are these little spots of pleasure. Just grab them and enjoy them as much as you can. So I sometimes think like that. But ultimately, one has to, and so people in some ways they turn to this because, at least in the West, they don't know there's a remedy. Anyone educated in Vedic knowledge, they understand this is entry level, aham brahmasmi, I am spirit soul. And that the real problem is that I have identified myself with the material body falsely. Every Prabhupada here is talking about devotees, because everyone knows, even the very beginning stage, is the first thing we learn, I'm not this body. Prabhupada made it really clear. I'm spirit, and the corollary is I'm not matter, and the corollary to that is I'm not this body. Everybody knows it. Everybody, this is just common knowledge. Teach it in the Gurukulas and everything. But somehow or other, people are not acting on this. They know better. But they may understand it theoretically, but there's no experience of it, and that we experience ourselves as bodies. We're attached to the body, we're attached to the senses, we're attached to the pleasure of the senses. Why is this? Why does this happen? Well, what happens is that we have to appreciate the problem with sense gratification. And I think it's very necessary to explain this to people in a very cool way. Because here in the West, the prevailing idea is that we are now in a period of liberation, unprecedented in human history. We have facility for sense gratification that no one has ever, others have never before reached. I mean, this is so stupid, but this is what they believe. And especially because before we were all suffering from the oppression of life-denying religions and moralities. The thou shalt nots. It told us this was wrong, and that was wrong, and this was wrong, and that was wrong. And now we're liberated. Now we can have sex any way we like, anywhere we like, with whomever we like. There's no restrictions anymore. Now we can really explore pleasure to its ultimate limit. And that always means sex. Sigmund Freud called sex the prototype of all pleasure. And that's why it's mentioned here, it's centered around sexual intercourse. So people are dedicated to this idea of making more and more facility for all kinds of pleasure, and especially sexual pleasure. This is what we've achieved now. This is the great achievement of modern civilization, to liberate us from these superstitions, these oppressions of the past. So as soon as you say to people, don't do this or don't do that, sex outside of marriage is wrong, and so, you know, we have so many things you should not do. No eating meat, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Well, yeah, this is like people's whole lives are those four things. Especially if you understand them in their wider sense also. I mean, no gambling, Prabhupada says, no sports, cinema. And so on. In other words, frivolous, time-wasting activities. Your human form of life is so valuable that not even 1 minute should be wasted. And yet, I'm standing all day in a bar, drinking alcohol, watching sports games on a giant TV set, and trying to pick up the girl next to me. You know, this is like it's a tragedy. I've been told that when Prabhupada first saw people playing golf, grown men going around hitting little balls with sticks, he cried. Just to think that people were doing this with their human form of life. But what do we hear in Tiger Woods, you know, the guy's holding their golf club. Golf is so boring anyway, and now people watch it. Okay. So this is such a tragedy. When you say these four regular principles to people, they immediately think, "Oh, I've been through that. I remember the priest telling me, 'Don't do this, don't do that. You do this, you'll go to hell. You do that, you go to hell.'" And they don't know why. They're told that somehow or other there's this angry old man, this nasty guy named God, who for reasons of his own doesn't want people to have fun. And so he's given us these commandments. And you know, the sooner we forget about it, the better we'll be. So here you, Hare Krishna's come along, and it's the same thing all over again. This is what happens. So people have to understand very coolly and philosophically. And first of all, people have to understand that that I am a spirit soul, Satchitananda, but I don't experience myself that way because of this identification of the self with the material body. The body is asat achit nirananda. So through the body we get pleasure, but that pleasure is always temporary. We get pleasure by making arrangements to bring our senses into contact with the objects, and sooner or later that contact is broken. This is the distressing condition of material nature. And we actually, in order to maintain the contact between our senses and our object, we are always in anxiety, even while we have it. Right now I have a nice job, I'm getting money, I can enjoy myself. The economy's tanking, they're laying people off. Right now I've got a beautiful girlfriend or boyfriend, but you know, he's looking at somebody else, and she's doesn't like me anymore. I'm always in anxiety. I've got beautiful little kids running around who I love dearly, and in any minute, you know, they can run in front of a speeding car or come down with some horrible disease. And I've got life insurance up to the eyeballs, but that does not stop death. It's not life insurance, it's death insurance. So we're always in anxiety, trying to maintain these relationships, and they always fail, sooner or later. Death is the ultimate failure to perpetuate these relationships. So we want pleasure and we want happiness that goes on undisturbed, and we don't get it. That's what we're looking for. That's what everyone's looking for. It's not available here. It's just not available. Why do we want this happiness that goes on forever? Well, this is actually a testimony to the fact that we are eternal. We are eternal beings, and we are looking for our eternal life naturally. But we are looking for it now based on this identification with the self, with the body, and it's not available. So it's an incompatible situation. Now the problem with sense gratification is we go to it for happiness, but it causes just the opposite. Because it is sense gratification which causes this false identification of the self with the material body. That's what it does. It is not possible to gratify the senses and not have our identification with the body increase. I may believe on the mental platform, I may believe I'm not the body, that Krishna's God, and so on. But if I'm engaging in sense gratification, it'll simply be just that, a conviction on the mental platform. The identification of the self with material body happens much deeper than the mind. It's the false ego. The false ego is at the root of the whole thing. And one has to actually become free from the false ego. But as long as I'm engaging in sense gratification, this false ego will increase. And I'll identify myself more and more with the material body. Then when that happens, I forget. I forget who I am. I forget who God is. These things become just theories. And the more I identify with the body, the more I experience whatever happens to the body as happening to me. This is the obscene part. The body grows old, the body becomes diseased, the body dies. And all we can, the only way people can deal with it is not by thinking about it too much. But my advice to people who want to be happy in the material world, my first advice is don't get any older than 18. stop it. Actually, 16 is even better. After that is downhill. So this is the way the material world works. So people just have to understand this. And they have to understand there is an alternative. One has to act with the senses in the service of Krishna. And that dissolves. Bhakti yoga destroys the false ego. It actually destroys the whole subtle body. The subtle body is a material element. Yeah, it dissolves, it says. Devotional service dissolves the subtle body. Because we're liberated from the gross body every time we die. But because we're not liberated from the subtle body, we're just full of our desires. We acquire another gross body. So one has to become liberated from the subtle body. That's why the subtle body has to be completely pure of all material desires. Otherwise we go on in this condition. So this is how it happens, that a person may be very learned and wise, but still, because they haven't taken this remedial measure of trying to become free from sense gratification, that they become idiots and act like idiots, act like fools, animals, and children. There's a French writer named André Malraux. He tells a story that he was visiting a village in France. He met a very old priest, a guy in his 90s. And he was sitting talking to his priest, and it struck him that this priest was, a very wise man. And so Malraux said to him, you've been a priest for so many years, you've been hearing confessions. People's confessions, the Catholic priest. You've been hearing people's confessions now for 70 years. So from all of that, do you think there's anything that you can say basically about human nature that you've learned? And the priest said, he thought for a second, he says, yes, he says, there are no grown-ups. Because if you look at why people get themselves in so many problems, in so many predicaments, if you look into it, you see this pramata, just this foolishness, this sheer foolishness. They know what's wrong, they even know what's going to happen, and they do it anyway. It's just foolishness. And even we see it all the time, big politicians, big researchers, people, university presidents, all these kind of things, find themselves in these various embarrassing situations because they simply cannot control their senses, or do not want to control their senses, because they become fooled like this. So one has to understand this, and one has to understand there's a remedy. And in Krishna consciousness, if one actually correctly cultivates the holy name, one should see. It should be a matter of fact that one should see decrease in the modes of passion and the modes of ignorance. They should be going down. If that doesn't happen, if that's not happening, then we're doing something wrong. But the process is actually there. By cultivating the holy name and coming into contact with the holy name, chanting the holy name while trying to give up offenses, that destroys all our past sinful activities. And actually, just chanting while trying to give up offenses brings one to the platform of liberation. And then when we're chanting purely, when we're trying to chant purely, earnestly trying to chant purely, we'll come to the platform of liberation. When we're actually pure, unalloyed, then we experience the pure name, and the result is prema. So even in early stages, actually, Krishna consciousness is very potent. Even in the preliminary stages, can be very potent. If, however, we chant the holy name and we're not careful to give up offenses, if we chant Jap, what we go, whatever, or we commit offenses against devotees and don't care about it, there's so many things are there. Then the potencies of the holy name will not operate. But if we just practice sincerely, by trying to chant and trying to give up offenses, then we should see these things happen. Moments of ignorance, moments of passion should decrease. Okay. We'll stop. Any questions? Yes.
I always saw that when the Bodhis were holding Rathyatra festival, one Srila Prabhupada said we could do this all the time, or something today, and that we could be doing this much more often. And my thought on that is, if the Bodhis are not fully engaging in these kinds of preaching activities where we're constantly out singing and dancing and actually enjoying the process of Krishna consciousness, that desire to be enjoying some form of pleasure is going to still be there. And so, how can we expect that the devotees are going to be doing anything but trying to find some pleasure if, in fact, we're not involving ourselves enough in the process?
Correct.
To satisfy them?
You're right. If people are not involved in Krishna consciousness, then they're going to be involved in sense gratification. You have to be doing something. We are pleasure-seeking entities. We're bliss-tropic, always looking for bliss somehow or other. So, yeah, if one wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, there has to be a certain amount of intensity in our activities. And those things need to be going on. That's correct.
I guess the next question could be, how can we increase our involvement?
Well, if that is slacked off now, there's things that we can do individually, actually. But it's much better if there are things that we do as a group. And that's what we have to make plans for these kind of things. To get people involved in increasing their Krishna conscious activities. So it should be a perpetual festival where everyone's happily engaged and interested in what's going on, trying to make something nice happen. And then they forget about sense gratification. Right.
Mm-hmm. In the temple book, under ten offenses, the ten offenses talks about ten offenses, and it says to maintain. Is it a typo? But it says to maintain some material attachments.
No, it says to maintain material attachments or desires, even after understanding some of the instructions on this matter. I don't know what the temple book says.
It's in the book, it has this statement about some.
It says what?
It says some material attachment.
I don't know where that came from. What book is that?
That's what I'm saying. Is it a typo?
Well, it just means any material attachments. Yeah, some. It's okay what it says. In other words, the offense against the holy name, the offense is not, to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna, or to maintain material attachments. So some, it's okay. Any, you could say. What that means is that we are maintaining material attachments or desires because we don't have faith in the holy name. You see, the offense in this case is not to have material desires. I mean, having material desires is a contamination. But it's not an offense against the holy name. But when I maintain a material desire, then it becomes an offense against the holy name. Maintaining means that I pray to Krishna, Krishna, please remove all my material desires, but not this one. I want pure devotional service, but I also want to be rich. For example. So that I, you know, that's just like non-negotiable. I won't be happy unless I'm rich. I want pure devotional service, but I want to be rich too. I want to be a rich devotee. And I want to spend all the money I get for Krishna consciousness. Yeah, of course. What does that mean? Well, I want to be rich because I'm thinking that if I get all the benedictions for the holy name, I'm still something going to be missing unless I have this. I have to have faith in the holy name. The faith is, Mahaprabhu defines faith, is to have that strong conviction that if I attain Krishna consciousness, automatically everything else will come that I need. So I had to have that. Just give me the holy name. And whatever else I need, I'm sure you'll take care of it. Better than I can. Okay? Well, that becomes a difficult problem, because usually if people have been in the movement a long time and have gotten stuck somewhere and not making material advancement, usually there's a long history of some kind of compromise with Krishna consciousness, of not actually practicing Krishna consciousness properly. They still consider themselves a devotee, they still consider themselves part of the institution, but actually, on the progressive path of self-realization, they've decided to sit down by the wayside and take it easy. Because maybe they have non-negotiable material desires, or I don't know, it could be a whole variety of things. And so then these people, they still want to maintain their self-respect as a devotee. And so they want to say, well, I'm senior, you know, various different kinds of tactics are used that people sometimes use to maintain their self-respect when really they know on the really important thing I'm lacking. An example of this we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita what's his name? Ramachandra Puri, who was a godbrother of Ishwara Puri, but it had offended Madhavendra Puri, he had failed in his main thing. He had offended his spiritual master, and because of that, he was contaminated by Mayavada philosophy. And this story is told in there, Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Madhavendra Puri was on his deathbed, he was lamenting in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna, the mood of Radharani, and Ramachandra Puri said, well, you know, what are you doing like this? You know, you should be immersed in Brahman, Nasochati, Nakanchati. Why are you lamenting like this? And so he was rejected this way, but still he wanted to consider himself a great devotee. So he turned into a critic, and so his habit was that he would find fault. Especially he came to Puri, and he decided that all the disciples of Mahaprabhu, they eat too much. And then he decided that Mahaprabhu was eating too much. Now Mahaprabhu was like, because he was the godbrother of Chaitanya's spiritual master, Mahaprabhu was like his disciple. And so he began to instruct him on not to eat so much. And Mahaprabhu immediately cut down on all his eating. He used to go to people's houses and they used to feed him and everybody was happy, and he stopped doing it. And people at Puri went to him and said, you know, look, don't, you know, you can't take this person seriously. You know, this is what he does. He sits down with you and he says, here, have some more to eat, have some more to eat, have some more to eat. Then afterwards he said, you see how much that guy ate? He said, this is his habit, so don't take him seriously. But Mahaprabhu, he was so perfect, he said, no, actually it's true. A sannyasi should be austere. You know what he's saying is right. So everybody became very unhappy because Mahaprabhu stopped going to people's houses and being fed by them. And then when he left, gradually they resumed their old ways. So this is what happened to him. You see, he suddenly, you couldn't get through to him in any way. You know, he was like, so he caught, now this is one thing that this was his big obsession. How much are people eating? Because in the main thing, what was his relation to the spiritual master? That he wasn't dealing with. And so he became a big devotee because he could criticize everybody. So these various kind of maneuvers sometimes take place when devotees are not improperly situated. And sometimes you can't do anything. Sometimes you're just too far gone. Or sometimes you just have to wait and then maybe something happens and there's an opportunity where they can see the want real Krishna consciousness, and something makes them humble, something like that, and maybe something can be done. Otherwise, you know, we have to learn to be just like Mahaprabhu, just like a real gentleman, and sort of just put up with it.
Even like sometimes we see them and do some offense and we want to try and correct them, but just it's hard to approach them.
Narrow the difficulty. Any particular situation, you can go to somebody who can give you some good advice and say, how should I approach this person about that? And try to deal with it in a particular way. Yeah. Anyway, if you know, we may think we have problems like this, but we see it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So. But for ourselves, we should be very frightened of committing offenses against devotees, if only for our own self-interest. So we should err in being charitable, thinking highly of people. I think we better stop now. It's 9:00. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.